Today is Super Bowl Sunday. Have you prepared well for the Super Bowl party? I really hope the 49ers win. But even if they don't stress too much and enjoy the game. According to the church calendar, today is Transfiguration Sunday. It is a Sunday that commemorates when Jesus' form or appearance changed on the mountaintop. Interestingly, Transfiguration Sunday is celebrated on the Sunday before Lent begins each year. You will find out why as you listen to the entire sermon. This story appears in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But pastors usually choose Luke's story. In Luke, the reason for Jesus going up the mountain is clearly stated as going to pray. So it's a good passage to preach that Jesus' transfiguration demonstrated the power of prayer. However, the Gospel of Mark does mention that Jesus went up to pray. So how should we understand the event of Jesus' transfiguration as presented in the Gospel of Mark? Let's explore this together. Peter, James, and John went with Jesus to the mountain. When they were on the mountain, Jesus was transformed before their eyes. And his clothes were amazingly bright, brighter than if they had been bleached white. When we say, "Your clothes are shining, you look so bright," what does it mean? It means you look exceptionally good. The clothes you are wearing are really good on you, right? But for the people of that time to say, "Your clothes are shining, you look so bright," meant transformation. It meant that the person had changed into someone completely different from the person they originally knew. One more thing. What does it mean when someone's clothes are taken off? It's an expression of death. Have you ever seen a painting of a person naked? It's typically present someone who has died. Galatians 3:27 says, "All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." This means that through baptism, you have taken off our own clothes, indicating that we have died, and we have put on the clothes of Jesus to become a new person. It's dying to myself and living for Jesus. That's the meaning of baptism. Clothing was a significant expression of a change in existence. So when it says that light shone from the clothes, it's a change of identity. How was Jesus changed? Jesus changed to become like God. John 4:24 introduces God is spirit. 1 John 1:5 says God is light. So when Jesus was transformed into light, it means that he was transformed into a spiritual being like God. 1 Timothy 6:16 says, "God alone has immortality and lives in light that no one can come near." Where does God dwell? In the light. God is clothed in light. Light becomes God's clothing. And God dwells in the light. Today's scripture tells us that Jesus was transformed into a spiritual being like God, clothed in the light that is God's garment. What did he want to show his disciples by undergoing such a change? It's the resurrection. By appearing in the form of a spiritual being shining with light, just like God, Jesus showed them the appearance of what he would be like when he rose from the dead. Then Moses and Elijah appeared. What do they have in common? They are both people who met God in their lifetime. Moses met God on Mount Sinai, and Elijah was taken up to heavens in a chariot of fire without dying. Moreover, they are expected to meet again in the end times when the Messiah comes. Now that the long-awaited Moses and Elijah had appeared, the disciples finally thought that the long-awaited Messiah had come. Peter immediately responds, "Rabbi, it's good that we are here. Let's make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Then a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice spoke from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him." Suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. God interrupted Peter's words. "Moses and Elijah are no longer visible." That means it's not the end times yet. Here God is saying, don't talk about building houses or settling down here. Instead, listen carefully to my words. Then God's voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love." Doesn't this sound familiar? Where have we heard it before? When Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." It's the same up to this point, but in today's scripture, God added another phrase. What is it? Listen to him. Listen to Jesus is the most important message in today's text. The disciples witnessed an unbelievable event. Jesus was transformed, shining with light, and even the admired figures of Moses and Elijah appeared. Then they heard the voice of God. All of this is amazing and awe is inspiring. But in the end, what God emphasized was to listen carefully to Jesus' words. What words of Jesus did God tell them to listen to? While it's important to listen to his future words, the emphasis here is on listening carefully to what he has already said. Jesus' previous words are found in the previous chapter of today's text. What did Jesus say from Mark 8:31 to the end? He predicted the death and resurrection. Jesus said that he would soon go to Jerusalem, where he would be arrested, handed over for trial, and crucified. But that wouldn't be the end. He would rise again after 3 days. And then he said, all who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Simply put, it means, I'm going to die. I invite you to come and die with me. Then he said, all who want to save their lives will lose them. But all who lose their lives because of me and because of the good news will save them. Let us die together. But dying is not the way to destruction. It's the way to life, he said. Did the people understand this? No, they didn't. So to illustrate this statement more vividly, Jesus showed them the transfiguration. Dying is not the end. It's about transforming into this bright, glorious appearance. He urges them to share in the suffering because it's not the end. That's the essence of the transfiguration event. The disciples didn't hear any words about the cross, suffering, death, or resurrection. All they heard was that they were going to Jerusalem to hold a prominent position. They closed their ears to everything else. Then they let their imaginations run wild. We see ourselves in the disciples who think only of their own well-being, not of the salvation of humanity. Although Jesus said, let's die together, the Lord, I know, doesn't lead us into death. I believe what he's asking here is a faith that can follow him even to death. We can say, I'll follow Jesus. I'll walk with Jesus. But if we are caught up in our own thoughts, if we are only thinking about our own well-being, then we are no different from the disciples. We are living without listening to Jesus. Now, with Ash Wednesday, Lent begins. God is speaking to us. Listen to him. It's God's command not only to listen, but also to engrave his words in our hearts. Jesus didn't say whether the 49ers were going to win or lose. What he said was, follow me. Follow me. As Lent begins, I encourage you to read the Gospels. It would be good to listen carefully to his words and meditate on them as you follow in his footsteps. I hope you will discover traces of Jesus that you may not have noticed before. May you stand up by the word. May you overcome fear through the word. May the reading of the word not end with reading, but may these words shine as a light to translate our lives. And may we also experience a profound Lent of 40 days in which we can be transformed in this light. Let us pray. Gracious God, please expand our narrow understanding. For though we hear, we do not understand. And though we see, we do not perceive. Forgive us for not following the Lord, who has become our salvation, and for thinking only of our own good, caught up in our own agendas. We pray to be renewed by your word. We want to strip off our own clothes and put on the garment of the Lord. May we stand in the light and be clothed with the grace of God to live a life that shines brightly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.